This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Let's move on to our dear friend Donna Adelson. What happens when the queen of a dental dynasty trades designer shoes for shower slides?
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm thinking some sexy photos is what I'm thinking right there.
Oh, no.
Donna in only in shower slides.
I can't get that on my head.
I'm going into AI right now, Tony, just for you.
Bravo.
Great.
And then we'll play Kylie Minogue, Can't Get You Out of My Head, to multiple images of Donna. I just can't get you out of my head. And it's all Donna and shower slides and Harvey peeking around the corner.
Oh. Ew.
In just a Speedo.
No, make it stop.
Todd, if anybody is listening to this as they're going to bed, sweet dreams. And then every once in a while, Charlie peeks around the corner. Mommy, Daddy.
Ew.
Can I have a snack? I'm thirsty. Can Mama?
God, don't. No, I know exactly where you're headed. Don't go there.
Come here, little Charlie.
No.
I got the chocolate syrup out. It's time for milk time. This happened just weeks before Charlie was convicted. He's been facing prison now for quite some time without mother's milk, and he's doing okay.
Can I go now?
No.
Donna Adelson is about to find out what life is like in prison. 75 years old, convicted of first degree murder. She's staring down a Florida prison sentence that offers no parole, no early release, no sympathy. But prison doesn't care how much you used to be worth. It cares if you can shut up, show up, and survive the heat, the noise, and the rules written in blood, sweat, and ramen packets. In this breakdown, we're going to be pulling apart the life and what life actually looks like for a woman like Donna, based on firsthand stories, Department of Justice reports, and the hard truth from women who've been inside. It's not a country club sentence. This is the Florida DOC. And once you're in, the only thing that matters is whether you can last. So let's break it down. And as you may be seeing right now, or you're, yeah, there we go. We got Donna. We'll run this as we kind of have our conversation here. Donna Adelson being transported. Is it playing right now? Is it just Donna not on the screen?
Yep, okay. She's coming.
Oh, she's coming. We're waiting for Donna to get into the van.
Yep.
I just found it fascinating looking at this.
What are we looking at right now?
This is the back of the van, and here she comes.
Oh, okay, now I see it. Okay.
Here she comes, Donna Adelson.
Oh, my God, I was going to sing with you on that. That's exactly where I was going.
There she is. Can I get into the van?
So when is this from, Tony? Do you know? Is it, like, right
this
after?
This is her being transported after the trial. So she has been sent, or she's been found guilty. This is now her, you know, getting going back to jail, because she's currently housed, I believe, at the Leon County Jail, waiting sentencing on October 14th. And this is, once you've convicted a narcissist, what you get. Her actions are speaking louder than words on this. There really wasn't much audio on this area. It was just kind of her getting in the van. And then it's silence. It's the ride. And you see her kind of, you know, shaking with the road as she goes, and her having a moment to soak in her new reality moments after she was sentenced to life in prison.
And think of this. Now, we're watching this, so if you're listening, you can see it. But think of this. You were just told you were guilty. Right. Mm-hmm. We saw the outburst in the courtroom, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Look at her sitting here.
She's very composed.
I would be losing my shizzle if I were just told that I was found guilty, right, of something that I think we all believe she did. And she's just kind of sitting there. She does have a few moments here, if you watch, of her kind of getting a little what looks like upset. But upset to Donna apparently is not upset to the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Look at her.
Yeah, I think I'd be inconsolable. Like, you know, snot running out of my nose, tears running down my face, you know, head in my hands. She's just sitting there. I'm. Can she look out the window? I don't know. Is there anything for her to see?
I mean, there's some light coming in. Look at this. I don't know if she's shouting up to the front or what she's doing there.
I'm innocent.
Can we stop for coffee? I'm thirsty.
Yeah, we just passed Starbucks.
I was just. That's the vibe I'm getting off of this whole thing. She's not looking at the world in any way of, like, accepting her responsibility. She is still looking at the world of, I did the right thing. Nobody else understands me. You know, I'm persecuted, poor me. And that's how she's going to die. I don't think her brain is capable of thinking it in any other direction. Otherwise, she should have taken the off ramp a long time ago. And now the ramp is slowly going to lead directly to a cell for the rest of her life. I mean, how do you think this is going to go for her going from, I mean, she has been in jail now for quite some time, but prison life is going to be different. How do you think this is going? The psychological shock of going from, you know, the country club reception to the moment the system has decided that you're going to spend the rest of your life behind bars.
It's ugly. I bet it's just absolutely ugly for her. And she's probably trying to figure out how she can manipulate the system in prison. How can she make that system work for her?
I think she's always thinking about that. Mm-hmm. In every situation in her life, I think she was thinking about, how can I make this be the best thing it can be for me?
Yeah.
It's never been about what's best for someone else. And I think, you know, okay, at this point in her life, it's kind of late to change your mind and be somebody that you're not. But she is definitely, Stacey, you're right. She is thinking about, how can I turn these lemons into lemonade?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when used productively is a good skill.
Yeah, right?
Well, there she is. She's sitting there talking to herself, trying to reason this out in her mind.
Do you think she's talking to somebody?
No, there's no one there to talk to. And you couldn't, because I tried to listen to the audio. You really can't hear anything she's saying. It's just kind of, she's just sitting there yabbering to herself.
I wonder if she's singing a song.
I was kind of wondering that too. Like, what do you think,
like,
Donna?
What song?
Yeah, what do you think she's, God, I wish I could read lips. I should have my girlfriend look at this because she can read lips.
Can she really?
Yeah, because she doesn't have great hearing. So she's learned how to do that.
Never gonna give you up.
Yeah, right. In the voice of Donna, though, like, never gonna give you up. Never going to let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you, Wendy. You need to fill my commissary. The prison Donna will likely call home. Is this. Most women serving sentences in Florida end up at the Lowell Correctional Institution. It's one of the country's largest and most troubled women's facilities. Doesn't that look like a nice place to stay? Look at that. They got their own water tower and everything. Perfect for jumping off of.
We never walk alone, it says. That's their motto.
Isn't that sweet?
You're never alone, kids.
It's weird.
Wow.
Why do you even have a statement? Why do you have a slogan on your prison? You
know? I didn't grab the picture, but there's a picture of another sign like that that says, "Welcome to Lowell Correctional." And it's like, oh, that's nice. A nice welcoming thing. That's
awesome.
Come
on in. Big old wreath. Do they have like potpourri like there ready? You know, remember like in the 80s where it'd be potpourri on top of like every toilet that's also carpeted?
Yeah.
There's a cell at
if you're not watching this on YouTube, you are missing out.
Do you think Donna is someone who,
oh my God,
in her home with Harvey, do you think that she still had potpourri on top of her toilet that was carpeted? And do you think she had the little carpet square underneath the toilet too?
And the toilet seat that was carpeted? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Why did we ever stop? And the padded seat. And the padded seat.
Ooh, I hate the padded seat. I hate it.
Especially when you get on it and it's already warm because somebody else just used it.
And because it's so warm, it's indented with the person's ass cheeks.
Oh,
you know?
God.
So. Especially when they're cracked, too. And then
and it gets, like, sharp. Like,
the pleather kind of, like, you know, chopping up at your ass. Yeah.
It's funny. It's funny that we've all had experience.
We all have. Mainly at my grandma's house, you know, you get your butt sliced by the plastic, you know, walk out going, what the hell just happened to me?
I wonder if those will ever come back. Do you think they'll ever bring back?
I hope not. I hope not.
And whose idea was it to let's put carpet at the one place where you're going to get pee, to stain it and hit it right underneath the toilet? Of like,
whoa, are you not hitting the bowl properly, Tony?
No, of course I'm not. No man ever does.
Listen, Stacey, let me just say this.
Come on.
It doesn't matter how well you aim. You're at a distance, so there's going to be splatter. Period.
It's going to happen.
I'll sit down. I enjoy sitting down because it gives me, because it's like one of the few times of the day I can just kind of like do this.
Yeah. And you can chill.
Yeah. So I do a lot of chilling in the bathroom. So I do sit down sometimes, even when I don't need to sit down. I'm just like, I'm gonna take myself 5 minutes here. I'm gonna catch up on the news.
Women everywhere will thank you for sitting down so there isn't splashback. Okay. I'm just saying.
Look, splashback is an inevitable fact of life, and that's what we're just going to have to accept. But what we don't have to accept is putting pieces of carpet remnant underneath our toilets. That seemed to be counterintuitive.
Such an 80s thing.
Well, you have a laminate floor, you know, with all the little squares and bricks like everybody had, and then rather than just wipe up the laminate with a piece of toilet paper or something. If you're a considerate male that does that, it's far easier to just do that. You know, take a little, you know, brawny, and clean it up, and you'll get it done. But if it's in the carpeting, what the hell is that? Who thought that was a good? I guess it covers it up. It alleviates you having to wipe it up because you can't because it's in the carpet. It must be something a guy came up with.
I mean, oh, absolutely, yeah. And you probably don't even know that you did it because it's in carpet.
Exactly. So I think a guy came up with it, and women kept buying it.
They thought it was pretty, right?
Yeah, I guess that's what it was. It was the pretty, but you never saw a design on him. There was always just a solid color.
No, but then you'd get the toilet paper that matched. So if you had pink carpeting, you'd have pink toilet paper or the light blue. And let me just say this, if we do nothing else with this podcast, if we make no other difference in people's lives, I just hope that we can do away with the carpet in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a high standard for me.
If you're still putting carpet in your bathroom, seek help. There is help out there. It does get better.
I just
want you to know that once you remove the carpet from your from around your toilet seat, life will improve. It really will.
So I'm going to find a way to change the subject here. We've had a few people in the chat tell us that this was after her initial arrest, maybe not after the verdict because of the clothing she's wearing. So I'm not sure, not 100% sure about that, but thanks for the comments. Figured out.
This houses over 2,900 inmates, many in open bay dorms without air conditioning. A 2020 DOJ report found widespread SA by staff.
Oh my gosh.
And systematic failures to protect inmates.
Yikes.
The facility was described as leaving women at substantial risk. Well, Florida claims to have reformed. PREA audits continue, and the facility's reputation really has not recovered as of right now. So that's something that one has to consider when going into a facility like this. Disturbing. I don't know what kind of risk Donna Adelson is at 75 years old, but I think anybody in that sort of environment, anything is possible. But it is also a prison.
If it's SA, it's not necessarily, you know, it could be just related on hate and all that kind of stuff, too. If people feel badly enough about what she's done, that might put her, you know, front and center for something like that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I also read a story about how they had like water problems at the facility and they knew about it and never did anything. And the prisoners all were getting sick and stuff like that. So this is not a good place for someone like Donna Adelson at all.
Our prisons honestly scare the shit out of me because they're getting worse. And you take Donna out of the equation, take everybody out of the equation for a second. There's like so little oversight in these facilities. It's like, okay, well, we sentence people, we try them this way, we do it publicly, we go, okay, here's what's going to happen. But it's like a whole other world once you get there with, like, just, you're at the mercy of who's privately running most of these facilities. They're not elected, they're not chosen, they're not, there's no self-reg, I mean, maybe there's self-regulation if somebody has principles, but a lot of times you don't, and you have people that are running this stuff, you know, with some vengeance. And I know prison's not supposed to be a great place, but it also, you know, we have to maintain some basic human rights and dignity. And I feel like we're kind of getting to a place where it doesn't exist. And there's no one there to stop really inhumane treatment by some very underqualified human beings that happened to get a job there because they couldn't get a job anywhere else. And now they're looking out for other humans. And we know not everybody that goes to prison or jail is actually guilty or is violent or deserves some of the stuff they're getting. Look at the Richard Allen case in Delphi. Yeah. I mean, you tortured a man. And then that's what they got out of it. They got him to say crazy things that make little to no sense. Like he's going to kill his grandkids that don't exist. And oh yeah, then he killed the kids too. But that, you know, came right after he was eating a nice big bite of his own shit. Literally. So there is a lot to be fixed in this system. And it's easy when we see people like this to look at the circus of it and go, yeah, they had what's coming to them.
Right.
And they do. They do to a certain extent. But we can't become as animalistic as them. And that's the scary thing. We saw it in the Koberger case, too, where the cell blocks that he was in solitary, they were flooding his because they knew a way to get the water from their cells to rain down into Koberger land.
Oh, it must just be torture for him.
Good.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't have a problem with it.
I preach about how we need to be more good, you know, it's right. But that's the crux of it. That's the human aspect of it. And if we're going to have the, you know, okay for that person, but what about this person over here? It's, you know, emotions overtake some of these things that really emotions just shouldn't be involved in. There should just be strict standards. Here's how we're handling it. No matter who you are, where you are, why you're here, there should just be, here's what it is. And it doesn't have to be nice. It doesn't have to be great, but it also doesn't have to be continually abusive either. It is supposed to be the correction system, not let's make them even more violent and horrible when they come out system, mm-hmm. which is what we have more than anything, because we like to poke the monkeys with sticks and anger the animals in the cages and that sort of stuff. And they're humans. They are humans. And if you want them to come out worse, keep doing that, you know?
Well, it would be great if it were some sort of a rehab where we focused on mental health and why are they there in the first place? It'd be great.
Well, it would be helpful if we focused on mental health before they ended up there too.
Right.
There's
because
that.
That would be preventative, because otherwise you're putting a Band-Aid on the problem. But yeah, I completely agree with you, Stacey. Yes, it would be great if they did. If we did it beforehand, we wouldn't have to fill these damn things up so high now.
Yeah.
Heat, noise, and no privacy. That's the other big complaint in the land of Donna Adelson behind bars, or the new prison that she's going to be heading into. You might imagine prison is quiet and isolating. In reality, it's constant noise, it's heat, it's movement. Get this one, no AC in most of the dorms. Temperatures inside routinely exceed 100 degrees in summer. Older inmates are especially vulnerable. Donna's 75.
Oof.
Inmates fight over floor space near fans. Sleep is disrupted nightly by shouting, toilets, clanking keys, and court procedures. Lights never fully go dark. You shower in groups, leave the toilet in public, and adjust to zero privacy. Do you think Donna is going to survive? And I'm not saying as in someone's going to take Donna out.
Yeah,
I'm saying she's going to be on suicide watch, I would
say.
Yes,
she is. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Those conditions sound deplorable to me. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do that.
I think if this is, and you got, there's no way out, there ain't no end to this inside, and you're already 75, I think I'd be looking for an out too.
I wonder if it's going to take a toll on her health without her taking things into her own hands, that she's just going to go on this downward spiral decline. And that's it.
And just like naturally die?
Yeah.
No.
I think that's very possible. Very possible.
You know, not having, you know, darkness at night, you know, not getting good sleep. She's at a point now where she needs these things. You know, the older you get, the more frail you are. She is going to be suffering physically and mentally. It's going to take a toll.
I can't imagine living like this at 43, more or less 75.
Right. Oh, you know, God.
It would be, yeah.
And I think if you look at her, and obviously we're talking about 10 years with all this going on or more, she has not aged well.
No.
If you look at her when she was arrested, trying to scatter, you know, get out of the country and all that, look at her now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's very different.
Very different.
Okay, honest question, and I know none of us know the answer, well, unless you've learned it somewhere else, but I don't believe any of us have ever been in prison. How the hell do they make the prison liquor in the toilets? And then are you not allowed? Do you just not use the toilet? What the hell do you do?
Probably use the sink.
If you're fermenting shit in your toilet, why wouldn't you make the liquor in the sink then? Easier to hide in the toilet.
Yeah, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, right?
How do you poop, though?
That's what I'm asking.
So, except he was trying to do it a little bit more eloquently.
Sorry, I'm the blunt one here in this group. So, if you want something said,
how do you excrete?
How do you defecate?
Okay? How do you defecate? I don't know. I mean, or is that just part of the seven herbs and spices that end up in the wine?
I looked it up.
Okay.
You
actually do it in the tank, not the actual toilet. But there's still a risk of contamination and all that kind of stuff.
You do it in the tank. Okay. Do they all have tanks? Show me that picture of the thing again. The cell. There was a toilet there. There's no tank.
That one doesn't have a tank.
Because most public toilets and, you know, commercial toilets don't have tanks.
Right.
So what do you do if you don't have a tank? Todd's going to find the answer.
There's no tank there. It's just the bowl.
I bet it's on the Martha Stewart website. From her time in prison.
Do you think she has a recipe book?
I bet she made some mulled cider in the the toilet tank.
That sounds interesting.
I made some delicious mulled cider from.
It's a good thing.
From applesauce.
To be honest, if she didn't make a cookbook out of that or a lifestyle book, she should have.
Yeah.
That'd be a great cookbook, prison cooking. I did a bit once on the radio where it was vending machine cuisine, and I had chefs actually come in, and they had to create gourmet dishes out of things only found in the vending machine, and the only cooking utensils they could use were what was found in the radio station's break room. So that included a coffee machine, which had a burner on it, and that was used to cook and make some interesting things. It was a fun little bit. Unfortunately, it was radio, and you couldn't see anything, and there was no social media yet, so it kind of, you know, missed the mark a little bit. But it was interesting. Then we paired it with Jones sodas, the Thanksgiving ones, like the turkey flavor and things like that. It was wonderful.
Wow. Well, you know, you're a creative soul. That's for you. I mean, I never. When I was on radio for, 18 years, 19 years, I never had an idea like that. Not once. Not once.
There's a lot of things in vending machines. You can saute up those meat sticks pretty good, Stacey, just in case you ever need to. A coffee burner, it does work wonders if you have the heat, you know, the heating element, to use.
And I have not had my meat stick today. This is a tradition that I'm breaking today.
There you go.
I'm worried, yeah.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.